remember that show, The Extreme Makeover? You know, the one where they take the family that's really hurting and they build them a new house or remodel the old one? You know, each room is designed to fit the person who lives in it. So let me ask you something. If you could ask God for an extreme makeover in your life, what would it look like? Well, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to unpack God's extreme makeover that He has planned for you. You're not going to want to miss it.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip serves as senior pastor of Venture Christian Church in Los Gatos, California, and is our teacher on this daily ministry outreach. I'm Dave Drewy, and today Chip begins a new series called Your Divine Design, How to Discover, Develop, and Deploy Your Spiritual Gifts. Now, it promises to be a life-changing 2 weeks together. If you don't get to hear all of today's message, remember you can hear Chip's messages anytime by going to livingontheedge.org. At the end of our program today, Chip will join us here to talk about how to activate today's teaching in your life and ministry. But right now, let's join Chip for his message, You're a Masterpiece in the Making, from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10.
Let me give you a definition of what I think an extreme makeover is. It is the process of taking something that is old, broken, imperfect, damaged, or not useful, and recreating it into something that is whole, useful, beautiful, attractive, and new. And then I ask, well, what is it about something that's old that's made new, something that's broken and made whole, something that isn't right and then is made beautiful and useful? What is it about that that really attracts us? And there may be a lot of reasons, but let me give you my top three. The first is, I think we all inwardly love to see positive change. In my human heart, I love to see positive change. Remember, even as a kid, you know, when I found a penny, I thought it was really cool. And we had this stuff where you could rub stuff on an old yicky penny and it would become a bright, shiny penny. And it'd be like, woo. I mean, what is that? There's something about seeing positive change that is so exciting for all of us as human beings. The second reason is I think our curiosity is riveted by the skill and creativity involved in making the old new and the broken whole and taking that which was unbeautiful and then making it beautiful. I mean, the curiosity. I looked at this extreme makeover thing, and I was asking myself, how do they knock out a whole wall? That house doesn't look big enough to have two stories now. In fact, people are so curious. Here's what I learned. They now have a Monday night show that's after the Sunday night show, and the Monday night show is called Extreme Makeover Home Edition. How did we do that? People are so curious. They want to know, hey, we saw what you did. How did you do it? And I do have to confess, I mean, just my human curiosity, when I saw sort of that lady in the before picture and then the after picture, I was fascinated by how they did that. It was kind of sad, but it was like they broke her jaw and then they cut this off and then they sucked that out and then they're okay. But I mean, it was interesting. There's something about me that is curious about how change occurs. The third reason I think that we're fascinated by extreme makeovers is this. I think all of us secretly long for an extreme makeover in some area of our lives or relationships. See, I'm just like you, and I think down deep in my heart and down deep in your heart is I long, boy, I'd like to be different. I'd like to take something old in me and make it new. I'd like to take a broken relationship and see it whole. I want to see positive change. And you know what? Rather than feeling bad about that, I think it's God-given. I think it's rooted in the spiritual DNA of your Creator in your heart and your life that you want an extreme makeover. Because I'm going to suggest that the ultimate extreme makeover is Jesus Christ working in a human heart and taking that which was old and make it new. Jesus Christ working in a human heart and taking that which is broken and fixing it. Taking that which is unuseful and dysfunctional and making it useful and functional and winsome and beautiful. In fact, I believe our fascination with makeovers is rooted in the author of Extreme Makeovers himself. The ultimate extreme makeover, 2 Corinthians 5:17, says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. God's desire, listen to this, God's desire, the one who created all that there is, the one who created you, his desire is to do an extreme makeover for every single person on this planet. An extreme makeover. You know, as fascinated as I was with the woman before picture, after picture, as amazing as it was to see the house look like this, and then the house look like this, God wants to do a relational, spiritual, emotional, internal, forever transformation in every man, every woman, every child. He wants to do a recreation. He wants to take the old and put it away. He wants something new to come in. He wants an open door in your heart and life in a relationship with Christ that gives you new desires and a new future and a new purpose and a new life and a new peace. And he wants to take the old and forgive. And he wants to take the old and he wants to cleanse. And he wants to put your past behind you. God wants to do an extreme makeover in your life and mine. And the way he does it is through his son, Jesus. Now, what I'd like to do, are you ready for a little analysis? I'd like you to open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, and I want to spend a little time and ask ourselves, how does it work? Okay, if we were doing extreme makeover with God, we would say, how'd he do that? How'd he do that? And in the book of Ephesians, we're going to learn exactly how he did that. Let's begin in chapter 2 and notice who you used to be. Over here is the before picture. In a minute, we'll see the after picture. The first three verses of Ephesians 2 is going to give you the before. Before the spiritual plastic surgery. Before they came in and knocked out the drywall and put in the second floor. Notice what it says. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, and you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air and the spirit who is now at work and those who are disobedient. All of us, no exceptions, also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Now, we could spend a lot of time studying this, but I can give you three quick observations about how you used to be before Christ or where you are at if you don't know him personally. Number one, it says we were dead in our transgressions. Theologically, that just means we are separated from the life of God. We are separated from God. There is a wall. There's a barrier. We are separated from relationship with the God who made us. Second, you'll notice we're prisoners of the world system. The ruler of the power of the air. We're prisoners to addictions. We're prisoners to dysfunctional relationships. We're prisoners to being addicted to pleasing people. And then finally, notice it says that we're objects of wrath. There is just judgment for living in a way that hurts people. The stealing and the lying and the manipulation and the image casting and the things that we all have done. And God says, this is who you used to be. You used to be dead. You used to be a prisoner. You used to be an object of wrath. But notice, it gets really good. Notice, who are you now? For those that have a personal relationship with God, by faith in Jesus Christ, picking it up at verse 4, what's it say? But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you've been saved. And then notice what he did. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And if you had a lot of time to study that, you would realize some major changes occurred. You used to be dead. Now you are alive. You used to be a prisoner. Now you're delivered from sin's power, Satan's grip, and past mistakes. You used to be an object of wrath, and now you have a new standing with God. You are righteous, you're cleansed, you have a new identity, you have new power, you have a new future, a new purpose, a new family, new privileges. And then very excitingly, you have a new inheritance. Before and after. And then you ask yourself, well, why? Why did God do that? Look at verses 7 through 9. In verse 7, notice the purpose clause here. In order that in the coming ages, he, God, might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in the kindness to us in Jesus Christ. And then we get a very familiar passage. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not by your works, not by your effort. Extreme makeovers are done by God, not by you. Lest any man should boast. God wants to do an extreme makeover in your life and mine. And the reason he wants to do it is so that we could see the riches of the kindness of his grace demonstrated in Christ. We could see, here's a person's life. Instead of a physical body going from a size 38 dress to a size 12, instead of a shabby house going into a beautiful palace, he's saying, here is an old life in Adam in an old family with sinful patterns that brought destruction to you and alienation from God because of what Christ has done. He wants to do an extreme makeover beginning in your heart and change the way you think, change the way you act, change your standing with God, change your relationships with people. And the reason he wants to do it, did you notice this? It says that so that in successive ages, that's the idea, in time of history, God would exhibit that which he's really like to men and women and angels. See, when that lady came down the stairs, I still remember her daughter. They panned the camera real close. And I'm telling you, she looked different. I mean, she looked so different that when she came down, her daughter went, Mom, is that you? When those people walked into the house and they saw that bedroom instead of the old one, when they saw the living room and the kitchen, and we can eat together as a family, the kids had tears in their eyes. Is this our house? And what's behind that? It's a sense of awe. It's a jaw-dropping, that was so bad, and this is so good. And what do? Then they turn to the people who recreated the house with a sense of thank you so much. And see, what God is about, for everyone that'll let him, he is about doing something in you that takes who you were and changes it through the power of Christ into this new creature and this new person, that if you would meet someone 10 years later who maybe you went to school with, or maybe you used to do drugs with, or maybe you used to run with, or maybe you did some stuff back in junior high with, if they could see you and your life and your relationships, they would go, Bobby, is that you? I actually had this experience. We were in San Diego, and we were doing what we call a president's council, and it's a conference we do for Walk Through the Bible. And there was a fellow that I played basketball with in high school, and he went on to play in one college, and I went on to play at another, and he was a couple years behind me. And we were a couple high school guys, both non-Christians, both kind of living the high school life in the 70s. And I came to Christ, lost track of him for 25 years. He later went through some hard times, came to Christ, and he got on the internet and somewhere saw my name and put it on the internet and Walked Through the Bible came up, looked at our website, found out what we were doing, emailed somebody. So it's a new members thing and we're kind of in saying, hi, it's good to have you. And I look at the first row and I'm going, I literally stop. Phil, is that you? Yeah. Chip, is that you? Yeah. And it was kind of like, we knew our history. What are you doing here? And he looked at me and I looked at him. God did an extreme makeover on you, didn't he? And God did an extreme makeover on me. Let me give you one picture that'll, I think, encapsulate it. There is a fellow named Jim. Became a very good friend. And his before life was one of, lived in Alaska, made a lot of trips to Mexico, and then did business throughout California. And his business was cocaine. And he was a cocaine addict, and he was an alcoholic, and his family was falling apart, and he was running for his life, and he had his messed up life. All of his kids had already gone south. Anything you can imagine in terms, he was a spiritual junkyard. His life, his relationships, his body, years and years of cocaine pushing and use and alcoholism. And then God gloriously started the extreme makeover process. And he came to Christ in Alaska. And he realized, you know something, if I stay living up here, this is not going to be good. So he ends up coming down to Northern California. He's a new believer. He doesn't know much. And it was about his third or fourth week. And so, you know, he was living the high life, but he kind of went incognito and he became the janitor at a local high school. and just trying to stay sober and getting a little bit of help and starting to read the Bible a little bit, and his name was Jim. And we were early on, the first couple years there at the church, and we were in this kind of old building, and my wife had started a little library, just a little hole in the wall. And in my mind's eye, I can still remember he and his wife, and it was in between services, and I kind of like to go say, hey, Teresa, how you doing, you know? And so this couple's there, and there was just something about him that sort of reeked, would somebody help me? Does anybody care about me? It was like our first time at church, and my wife is very merciful, which is really good because I need that, and it's good for other people too. And she just invited him in, and we had a little conversation. Before long, they came to the library for a few weeks, and before long, she was meeting with a lady and talking with her, and before long, I hear his story. And if you fast forward the camera, we watched this guy. Within a couple years, he became our custodian. And within about 3 years, he was in a back portable meeting with two or three alcoholics trying to get them sober. And they showed up about once every other week, and he was pretty frustrated. But little by little by little, the extreme makeover in the community of God's people, and as he heard God's word go into his heart and his mind, and he got very serious about getting it into his heart, and now he was in a safe place, and he got in a small group in our church, and Joe was the counselor, the family pastor, and really invested in this guy, and pretty soon he wanted to know, what does God want me to do with my life? And what he was doing wasn't working, and he heard about this thing down in Southern California called Celebrate Recovery, and so he said, I'd like to go down there, and I found three or four other addicts in our church, and we want to go down there and see what it's like. And so we threw very little money at it. I mean, very little, like, you know, dream a dream, find a team. That was sort of the goal of, that's how we did our church, and then figure out how to pay for it, you know. So they went down to Southern California, and they saw it, and they came back. And all I can tell you is a janitor who was rescued by Christ in an extreme makeover after about 3 years came back with a team of three or four people, and a year and a half later, we had the second largest Celebrate Recovery ministry in all of Northern California. And pretty soon, Friday nights were, I mean, it got out. And someone, I remember a guy came up to me after a service and said, man, I had a rough night last night. And, you know, that little cable station, you were on it. And I watched you on TV, so I thought I'd come. And I said, well, great. He said, yeah, I mean, it was really bad. And I'm thinking, you know, he's got a hangover. And he said, yeah, I almost really lost it. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, like, what do you mean, man? Like, I almost OD'd on heroin. And I'm going, have you ever had one of those times where you're really supposed to know what you're doing, so don't act shocked, be very calm. My insides are going, heroin, man. You know, I don't know what you know, he's asking me for help after the service. And, you know, I'm realizing, so, but I didn't show any of that. It was, oh, well, good, I'm glad you made it through the night, and God brought you here. And then I just, Jim, I said, could you stay right here? And I went and got Jim, and I watched them talk for about 4 minutes. He looked the guy right in the eye and said, you ready to get help or not? I mean, I'm thinking, Jim, why don't you be nicer to this guy? Jim understood the thing. You want help or not? And I mean, they were just so direct. And the guy said, yeah, I really do. He said, you really do? This is what it's going to take. He said, we don't play games here. We'll really love you. We'll speak the truth. This is what. And you know what? I watched that thing mushroom and grow and grow. And after a while, Jim realized that his calling and his gifts were leading him. And there was a Christian college. And even though I'm not sure, I don't think he ever went to undergraduate, but they let him in. He took about a year and a half or two-year program in drug counseling. Jim became our pastor of Celebrate Recovery, and he now speaks around the country teamed up with that church in Southern California. Is this like an extreme makeover or what? Is this like a before, dead in his transgressions, prisoner, and now he is alive, free, living? Jim's life is not just a picture of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. Jim's life is just a snapshot of what God wants to do in you. And he wants to do it in every single person. And you say, well, where do you get that? Look at verse 10. Here's what I want you to see. You are a masterpiece in the making. Look at verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You are his masterpiece. Jim isn't some special guy. Every person on the earth, what's it say? If any man, if any woman is in Christ, what's it say? The old things pass away. All things, notice it's a process, become new. Now, here's what I want you to do. Do you have a pen? Pull out your pen. I want you to circle the word workmanship. Then I want you to put a little squiggly line under created in Christ Jesus. And then I want you to put a box around to do good works. For you are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for a purpose, to do good works. Then notice, which God has prepared in advance for you to do. God wants to give us an extreme makeover. He wants to give you a second chance. Have you ever like been shooting foul shots or shooting darts with someone and you make a little bet? I'm sure you've probably never done this, but just in your former days or something. You're not quite warmed up, and you shoot one, and you miss it, and you say, redo, right? If you want to have good competition, I wasn't loose. Oh, well, I'm going to get loose, right? I want a second chance. I want to redo. I want to start over. And don't we all want to redo? You know what God's saying through this passage? He wants to give you a redo. He wants to give you a second chance. He wants to give you a new life. This little phrase, you are his workmanship, the Greek word here, literally, it's the picture of a masterpiece in the making that's in progress. You could picture a beautiful piece of art, and you're the canvas, and God is painting and reworking and recreating, and you're on his easel, and you are a master. You're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Or you could see it as a sculptor, and he's re-sculpting your life, and he's taking the clay of who you are, and he's forming the different parts, and he is making you, you are his workmanship. Or you could be a literary work. This word was used of a poem or a literary work that was in progress. You are the workmanship of God. He's recreating you. How? Through your relationship in Christ. Why? For the purpose of good works, doing good. God has a purpose for your life. Don't we know that now? I mean, if 23 million people buy a book, if 23 million people buy a book to discover what their purpose is, don't you think there's something down deep in the heart of men and women that say, I want to have purpose? God says he has a purpose for you to do good works. Did you notice the little phrase? Literally, that were preordained for you to do. Before the foundations of the earth, God knows you and he loves you. He understands you. He cares about you. He wants to save you. He wants to put away the old, have you have a relationship with Christ, demonstrate the kindness of who he is, the love of who he is, the wisdom of who he is. And then what he wants to do is he wants to take you and take you on this extreme makeover process where your life is beautiful and winsome and loving and kind instead of the way it used to be. And then he has a special set of good deeds, good works, good purposes that you're designed for. And we're going to learn in a minute, he actually will gift you or give you the tools so you can fulfill what he wants you to do. Anybody have any idea what the good works Jim was preordained to do? My friend Jim? It's pretty simple, isn't it? God preordained that he would rescue him, then gift him, restore him, so he could reach into, you know what? First it was drug addicts, then it was alcoholics, then it was sex offenders, then it was codependents. Our Celebrate Recovery, it just kept mushrooming. Anyone who had an addiction, his good works were to allow the love and the grace of Christ to be poured out through his life and his team for that to happen. And here's what I want you to know. God wants to do that in you. That's God's plan for you. You are a masterpiece. You are special. You are a work in progress.
Chip will be back in just a minute. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message today, You're a Masterpiece in the Making, is from his series, Your Divine Design, How to Discover, Develop, and Deploy Your Spiritual Gifts. If you've been a listener to Living on the Edge for any length of time, you know that we're committed to helping Christians really live like Christians. And this series, Your Divine Design, will help you take one of the most important steps on your spiritual journey. Knowing your spiritual gift will give you the confidence to put it to use as God intends. If you're ready to experience a greater sense of purpose and satisfaction in your life, then Your Divine Design is for you. Many have found that doing this series with a small group has been really fun and encouraging. For complete ordering and pricing information on all of the Your Divine Design resources, just go to livingontheedge.org. You'll find the small group DVDs and study guides, the CDs, and while this series is on the air, the MP3s are absolutely free. So jump online to livingontheedge.org or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Chip, I know you want to share some specific application from today's message, but before you do that, would you take just a minute and explain why knowing your spiritual gift is so important to your own personal spiritual journey?
What I've discovered is the average person does not know their primary spiritual gift. They do not know the number one thing God deposited in them that shapes their design, that tells them what their purpose is and what He wants them to do. And so this is from the Bible only, how to discover and then deploy your spiritual gift. I can't think of anything other than your salvation or relationship with marriage or kids or friends that's more important than understanding what God put in you so you can figure out and know what He wants you to do.
Thanks, Chip. Learning about your spiritual gift is potentially best done in community, where others can affirm and encourage you to step out in faith to exercise your gift. So we want to help you on that journey, and we've got a couple of great options for you. I mentioned the DVDs a minute ago, and now our library of small group videos is online. So with a low monthly subscription, you can stream any of our over 20 small group video curricula, including this series, Your Divine Design. Best of all, when you subscribe, your first month is free. And then, finally, don't forget the small group study guides. They'll take your group time to a whole new level and give your discussion some direction. All the details are on our website, livingontheedge.org. Well, now here's Chip with some final thoughts from today's talk.
What I know for sure is a lot of you don't really believe what you heard today. When you look in the mirror, you don't think you're a workmanship. You don't think you're a poem. You don't think you're something special. In fact, you wonder down deep, you know, why did God even make me? Or you don't really like yourself. You wish you had enough money to do a real makeover. And here's what I want you to know. You are special. God has a purpose for you. There is a good work. I mean, something that will tap into the depth of your heart that He designed you for. And part of your DNA spiritually, your personality, your background, your experience, He wants to get you on the canvas and He wants you to cooperate in a way so that He can dramatically change you from the inside out in a way that will be better than you could ever dream. In our next broadcast, we're going to talk about where God does His extreme makeover, and we're going to talk very specifically about how God does extreme makeovers. So don't miss our next broadcast, and if for any chance you think you have to, go on the web at livingontheedge.org, and you can download these notes and listen to the entire message. I can't wait to share in our next broadcast the specific ways that God wants to make your life over from the inside out. Don't miss it.
As we wrap up today's broadcast, I want to say thank you to those of you who make this broadcast possible through your generous financial support. And if you've been blessed by the ministry of Living on the Edge but have never supported us financially, there's never been a better time than right now. When you make a donation to Living on the Edge, it will be matched dollar for dollar thanks to some very generous friends of the ministry. Sending a gift to Living on the Edge is easy. Just go to livingontheedge.org, click on the Donate button on the homepage, or if you prefer, you can always give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. That's 1-888-333-6003. On behalf of Chip and the entire staff, thank you in advance for your generosity. Well, Monday on Living on the Edge, Chip will continue our current series, Your Divine Design. So be sure to make plans to join us then. For Chip and the entire team, thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.